Good evening, everyone. It's good to be back. Feels slightly weird. I remember sitting there, I was wondering, am I still able to speak before a crowd of people? And then tonight was just an awesome reminder that it's not about me. It's all about Jesus. So this evening is, before we even start, if we would just bow our heads and again go to God, asking that He would lead us as we go into the reading and preaching of His Word. Oh, Heavenly Father, I come before You acknowledging, Lord, my limits. I come before You, Lord, knowing that, Lord, I'm a finite being. I come before You, Lord, knowing that I'm prone to wonder, I'm prone to error. And God, I acknowledge that I'm heavily dependent on You. Father, this evening for us to be encouraged, for us to be challenged, God, that would not happen by any persuasive word that I could use. Lord, that will only happen if Your Spirit ministers. And God, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would minister in our hearts. I pray, God, that Your Holy Spirit would lead and would guide me, Lord, and You'd help me to speak only as thus saith the Lord. And I pray, Lord, that You would protect my own heart from pride. I pray, God, that You protect my own heart from thinking that, Lord, this is a task that I can do because of the gifts that I have. Because, Lord, even those gifts are Yours. They've been given to me, to us, by You. So as we receive Your word today, Lord, may we receive them with hearts that are opened, hearts that are ready. And I pray, Lord, that You continue doing the work that You've started as we continue to worship You through the preaching of Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So this evening I thought I would go back to the book of Daniel to just continue where we left off. But sure, it's been a while since we've heard from Daniel, so I'll try to catch us up as briefly as I can. What we've seen from this book is that the nation Israel was taken siege by the Babylonians. And what happened is when the Babylonians came into Israel to take siege of the nation, they also took some of the Israelites captive. They took the young and the bright young people of Israel and took them with them to Babylon because they wanted to use them in the building of this great empire. As these young men and other Israelites walked and journeyed to Babylon, they sang out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, how can we sing Your praises in a strange land?" We also saw the uncompromising devotion from David and his friends when they refused to eat the king's food and trusted that God was going to sustain them through what I consider weird, a veggie diet and water. These men found favor with God, for not only did He sustain them, but He made them fairer. They had a glow than all the others who ate the king's food. We then saw in chapter 2 that the king was troubled. He received a troubling dream that came to him from God. We also saw that the king was a man who was of high esteem. He was never troubled by anyone. No army could trouble this king. Step in, God. God steps into the picture. He implants in this king's mind a dream where He reveals to this king that your kingdom will not last forever. In fact, you will be overthrown by a lesser kingdom than yours. In all of this, God showed him that essentially at the end, it will be God who will rule in His rightful place as king. If you quickly go to chapter 2, verse 46 to 47, we see King Nebuchadnezzar's response to God's revelation. The king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and an incense be offered up to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, Truly, your God is God of gods and Lord of kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal the mysteries. The king took time to acknowledge God, that God is sovereign over all, that God is sovereign over mankind. He saw this through a dream that God had revealed to him personally, and there was nothing he could do to deny God's power and might. This empire that this great king has sacrificed everything for will be overturned. But tonight my challenge is, I want us to see how easy it is for you and for me to be consumed by our own missions. I want us to see how easy it is for you and for me to be blindsided by our own wicked hearts to the cause of Christ and build our own temples right on the doorstep of God's. The challenge this evening is to watch for the idol that is you. So as we're ready there, Daniel chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 7.
Daniel chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and his breadth was 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace." Verse 7. Therefore, as soon as all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up.
Thanks, Dave. The first thing I want us to see this evening is all forms of idolatry stem from man's rejection of God. As I read this portion of scripture, I can't help but wonder, Nebuchadnezzar, what happened? You saw the hand of God, you acknowledged it, and now this? King Nebuchadnezzar bluntly rejects God's revelation. And as I was reading this, I remembered an interview I heard on the radio. Can you imagine Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter without the like button? I heard that they're looking through it. They're looking to experiment of removing the like button on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. What will this world come to? We all going to die. What is going to happen to our 2 cents opinions that we post on Twitter that are bathed in subjectivity? What is going to happen to our sun-kissed selfies? What is going to happen to our eyebrows on fleek? Who's going to recognize us? What's going to happen to our squad goals pictures? I mean, we mourn. We grieve when we only get 12 likes. How much more when you get none? You see, it's all about image. Image and idolatry are inseparable. We live in an image-driven world where we crave recognition to boost ourselves. In fact, the reason why they want to remove the like button is because they believe that the like button is why so many young people are depressed and committing suicide, because they are not able to replicate that which they see on these celebrities on their own Instagram pages. We live in an image-driven world where we crave the recognition. What is going to happen to all our social media Christians? Who have the quickest Twitter fingers, the best Bible quotes on WhatsApp status, but they are the slowest to practical theology. What is going to happen to all these people? So what I want us to see is the vain beauty of Nebuchadnezzar's glorious statue. In verse 1 it says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth was 6 cubits. He set it on the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. You see, a man says, man's proud heart is the same in all generations, and the same things happen even today. Have you ever seen in your time men seriously awestruck? They could not hold themselves. They seemed stricken down by the force of the truth of God. And you felt almost sure that they would become like Saul of Tarsus, true converts and even apostles of the faith. But after a while, they forgot it. Forgot it all and became at least the most bitter and determined opponents to the truth of God, before which they seemed once to bow. Have you met those people? You see, this is true about King Nebuchadnezzar at this point. He was bitter about the implications of God's revelations to him. He builds an image that reflected what he wanted the people to believe in his empire. The statue would resemble the wealth of idols in the land. It would reflect the wealth of materialism in the nation. Nebuchadnezzar reveled. He reveled at the wealth that he had accomplished as this mighty leader, and in the power he possessed. This statue would serve to make a statement to everyone who would observe it. It stood 27 by 2.7 meters tall. That's 9 floors high, if every floor is 3 meters. But even as tall and as grand as this statue is, it wasn't the grandest idol in the land. But it still made a statement. You see, he needed the empire to recognize him as, O King, live forever. He wanted his rule to be stained in the minds of his people. So therefore, the Lord's revelation didn't sit well with him. He rejects all the other pieces that God revealed on the statue in his dream. And he just builds one that is just plated with gold, claiming what the people were chanting, O King, live forever. This king, so proud about his works, so proud about himself, it says, it was paved in the stones in Babylon. It was written, I, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, paved this road with mountain stone from the possession of Marduk, my lord. My Marduk, this is an idol god, my lord, grant me eternal life. This is a king who didn't want his reign to end. This is a king who it was all about him. He's in the prime of his strength. He has done everything. Man has to recognize him. And as I read this, I see that this is the heart of the natural man. This is the heart of the old man who doesn't know God. He is driven by self. He is greedy. He is selfish. He rejects God and follows after gods made by men. Sure, listen to what Matthew Henry says. He says, the worshippers of false gods won't mind charges in setting up images and worshipping them. So they won't mind the cost. They lavish gold out of the bag for that purpose. Sure, which shames our tight-fistedness in the worship of the true God. We will not freely give to this God whom we believe is the real God if we are too fixed in ourselves. If we are too fixed in building our own image, in following our own desires of our hearts. Friends, the biggest opposition to man clearly seeing and worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all creation, the sovereign God, is our wicked hearts. The biggest opposition that we have to truly and freely worshiping this God is you. It's me. We have to ask ourselves the question, have we rejected God for practical atheism? We don't want to proclaim him in the open, but we praise him in the closet. We acknowledge that he is God, but we give in to the passions of this world, claiming and stating even in the church that piety is impossible. It's unrealistic in this fallen world. The truth we see from this passage is that it was tough being a Jew in Babylon in this time. The hardships we face today as saints, they faced as well at that time. Daniel and his friends experienced the same persecution. Everything around them was against God. What do we see today? Everything around us is either pro-self, pantheistic, polytheistic, modernity, pro the universe, pro atheism, pro agnosticism, or pro something else? Why? A passage you know so familiar. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. For they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They claimed to be wise, and yet they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal, the glorious God, for images resembling themselves, resembling modern men, mortal men, and birds and animals and creeping things. Do you remember the Israelites? As Moses was about to go up on Mount Sinai to receive the law of God, they stood at the bottom of the mountain, and God had revealed himself to them, and he had instructed them, go and you must build a tabernacle for me to come and dwell among you. And they said, God, we will do everything that you ask of us to do. God, whatever you want, ask us and we will do. They saw God rescue them from slavery. They saw him lead them through to the wilderness to Mount Sinai. They saw the burning flame on top of the mountain. And yet they grew impatient waiting for Moses and built a golden calf. The Israelites said to Aaron, make us gods who shall go before us. The people then said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. The people got so far through the hand of God, and just when they were about to enter the promised land, just when they were about to get into the rest, growing impatient, they spit in the face of God and say, you didn't lead us here. It was this cow that we have made from our own hands. The truth about idolatry is that, and this is a quote that I found, it is true that while man remains in brutal ignorance, he is prone to worship fancied evil agents whose wrath he deprecates. But even this act is a confession that there is somewhere outside of him a power superior to himself who is able to work him real mischief. The truth is, as we see so many people chase after religion, man is just proclaiming that I know that there is a deity above me. I know that there is a power far greater than that which I possess, but they just reject it being the God of the scriptures. Today in the varsity, people might admit, or today in the workplace, people might admit that, hey, there is a God, but once you start talking about Jesus, everyone is like, listen, that's not the God that I want to follow. Once you start talking about the scriptures, everyone's like, ah, that's not relevant. That's not the God that I want to follow. Nebuchadnezzar had no excuse. God had plainly revealed himself to him. God's omnipotence, his deity, was seen by this king. And what did he do? He still went on and dishonored him. All he did was he exposed the foolishness of his heart, the futility in his thinking, that he claims to be wise by building this great idol, contradicting God's revelation. Likewise today, it is our foolish hearts, it is our futility in thinking that we can build for ourselves this great kingdom here on earth, putting God's kingdom on ice, thinking that we are wise. And yet we are proclaiming that we are fools. You see, what the natural man will do is he will pursue building his own image. The desires of his heart are to build his own kingdom, to receive the praises of man. This is why we struggle today to obey the Lord. Because God says, abandon your kingdom, die to yourself, build mine. But this will never happen if our hearts are still hardened. This will never happen if we haven't fully seen the light of God, if we haven't experienced the regenerating work of the Spirit in our hearts. If these things don't happen, then my friend, you are chained to building in vain. You can build the most glorious kingdom for yourself here on earth, but it will be worthless compared to God's. And what's going to happen to it? It will pass away like dust. But the new man, however, he's about building the kingdom of Christ. The desires of his heart have changed. His fleshly heart receives the conviction of the Spirit. He pursues the cause of Christ. The new man is a fighter. He is steadfast. He is immovable. He's always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord his labor is not in vain. Amen? This new man agrees with Sproul. R.C. Sproul says, if God is the creator of the entire universe, then it must follow that he is the Lord of the whole universe. No part of the world is outside his lordship. What does that mean? That no part of my life must be outside his lordship. Who is Lord of your life? Is it the society? Is it the idol that is you? Maybe you're here this evening and you're just worshiping another God. Who is Lord of your life? If you claim to be a Christian, then you must be like I've read in 1 Corinthians 15:58. It must be seen that you are steadfast. It must be seen that you are movable, that you are abounding in the work of the Lord. Or you'll find yourself wanting. From verse 2 and 3, we see our next point. Idolatry demands worship that belongs to God. The king Nebuchadnezzar sent together the satraps and prefects and governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come and to dedicate to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, and the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. I want us to notice that King Nebuchadnezzar doesn't build this idol like he doesn't build for this idol like he did for the other idols at temple. This idol, he builds it in the plain. He builds it in the open for every eye to see. Almost like a direct jab at God, where God says, I will not be confined to temples built by human hands. Notice that Nebuchadnezzar sends out messengers to go out to call for rulers of the provinces of the empire. These great men are called to come together to pay homage to this image that he has created. So we see the parliamentary meeting here. And this in this parliament, we see they would communicate that we have some political unity amongst the leaders. This was a statement that royalty has sanctioned this idol. Therefore, everyone needs to come and worship this idol. The sad reality is that a land that is led by a man or a woman who rejects God and worships idols is a land that is run by tyrants. Oppression will be experienced by the people. He will be a dictator of note. There is no morality. There is nothing holding him back from fulfilling the evil desires of his heart. This is why we are in trouble today. We need leaders who fear God. The sad reality is that if the gospel does not penetrate the hearts of the leaders of mankind, we will never experience rest. On this earth, we will never experience rest. Instead, we will continue to suffer. We will continue to experience crime, injustice, abuse, pain, sorrow, and death will forever be the order of the day till one day we are ruled by the one true king, the righteous judge, the good shepherd, the great high priest, the king of lords and the God of gods. Until then, my friends, we need to persevere. Until the great king comes and rules on his throne and our hearts have been made new and we receive our glorified bodies, till then we will need to persevere, because as sin reigns, you will never experience rest. Doesn't matter who's in power. Something, though, we need to be careful of is that whilst these tyrants reign, the day is coming when this will be required of you. The herald will come proclaiming out loud, that you are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages. Verse 5, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into burning fiery furnace. Therefore, as soon as the peoples heard the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. The time is coming, I pray it doesn't come when we are still here, where we as a nation will lose our freedom of worship. The time is coming in South Africa where we will not be allowed to worship the one true God, and instead we will be silenced. The Bible says that there will be those whom you shared a pew with. They might be even sitting in this room today, who will rise up and serve another God. They will bow down and worship this God and will come back and persecute this very church. Friends, watch firm that you hold tight to the sound doctrine of our God, lest you be tempted. The varsities, the workspaces, the schools are becoming more and more liberal and anti-God. Many Christians will join, as we've seen this week, in shaming the church. When we had the opportunity to stand together as the body of Christ, the bearers of truth, we decided to whip up our Twitter fingers and actually bash the church. Claiming to be wise, we became fools. The world will sound the horn. And my question to you this evening, the question to me this evening is, will I be found standing? Or will I bow to the gods who have been prescribed to me by these wise men of this age? Where do you stand tonight? To close, our final point is, where do you stand in an idolatrous world? In verse 7, we see that all peoples, when they heard the music come together, they fell down and worshipped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. The question this evening is, will you be found contributing in the constructing process of this idol? The idols that men are setting up today, are we speaking actively against it, or are we picking up tools to build this idol with them? Scared of shame and ridicule. Number 2, are you guilty of building your own idol in your heart, right next to the dwelling place of the Spirit? We cannot hear the Spirit's conviction anymore because we are so fixed into building our own kingdom, where God's kingdom is now permanently secondary. Number 3, God is calling us tonight to get rid of our pride. He's calling us tonight to abolish the kingdom we are spreading all our resources to build in vain. For moth and rust will destroy. He's calling us instead to focus on building the church. Christ is calling us to fix our relationship with Him. Fix your relationship with God. If you're a Christian, God has revealed Himself to you clearly into your heart. You have seen the gospel. You have seen your need for Him, and that without Him you would be condemned forever. But He saved you. His grace was sufficient for your sins. If that has been revealed to you tonight, fix your relationship with Him. What has come before Him? Ask God that He would remove that. We sang tonight and asked that Jesus once again would be the center of it all. Ask that Christ would fix your relationship with him if you have been caught in spiritual adultery. And I'd ask that you leave tonight. Leave here with a renewed passion. Leave here with a renewed passion for the cause of Christ, acknowledging that as you walk out that door, we are walking into a world that is dark. A world that is already worshiping some sort of idol that is not God. A world that has no excuse, for they have rejected the God of the Bible. They have rejected the revelation that he has given to them. But we have received it. Leave here as a herald of good news and proclaim to those who haven't heard that there is coming a time where you will bow down to the real King of Kings. And unfortunately, it will be too late. Because once you've acknowledged him as king, you will be sent to condemnation, paying for your own sin for eternity. I pray that that's not you tonight. I pray that tonight, if you're a Christian, that you'd leave here with just a renewed fire in your heart to say, God, I just want to give my all to you. Come back to the heart of worship. It's all about God. It's not about me. It was never about Daniel. It was never about Nebuchadnezzar. It's all about God. Let's pray. Father, this evening I come before you acknowledging that I myself am prone to wonder. God, maybe I've taken that which is good and I've made it an idol. And God, if that is true, Lord, I pray that you'd forgive me. God, if I've been building my own kingdom, if I've forgotten your cause, I pray, God, that you'd bring us all together at the foot of the cross seeking your mercy. Praying that, God, you'd forgive us, God, if we've been caught in spiritual adultery. If we've been given ourselves to the worship of some sort of idol, I pray, God, that you'd forgive us for that. I pray, Lord, that you'd really renew our minds. Renew our hearts the passion for Christ. I pray as well, God, if there's someone here, Lord, who hasn't been made new. Oh Lord, won't you be merciful? I pray, God, for your grace by the ministry of your Spirit. Won't you please awaken their hearts that they would see you as God and believe in the finished work of Christ on that cross, that they too may be counted as one of your own, excited for the day where they will serve under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But God, if there's someone in this room who still is uncertain and are comfortable in rejecting you, I pray, God, that your gospel may keep ringing in their minds. The message of Jesus, Lord, may it pierce their minds and their hearts. As uneasy as Nebuchadnezzar was with that dream, I pray that they also would be uneasy. May they find no rest till they find you. So God, I pray that you'd be with us even as we leave here this evening. I pray, God, that you'd help us to be honest with you. If we've been found being proud, that you'd humble us. If, God, we've been claiming to be wise, I pray that you'd show us that we are fools. All things that we do is because of you. All things we do is for you. Help us, God, to not only acknowledge that, but to live it out. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.